Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Ryan Sider from Rivals.com in just a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up for the weekend. Time to stock up for the holidays. All right, the holiday season's right around the corner. Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, bowl games. Football, lots of it. You need to be ready for the holidays. Whether you're going someplace, you want to bring something with you, or you have people coming over to your place, you want to be ready for them. Brewers Outlet's the place to go. Imports, domestics, microbrews, what a selection of beer they have. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, okay? Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great one-stop shopping for the holidays or for the weekend or for any time. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know, it's the holidays. You want to make an awesome holiday gift? A vehicle. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. TNT last night. The Lakers in action against the Sacramento Kings. Timothy Mozgov, the call of Kevin Harlan.
By 19, they've come back to take a lead of three here late. Mozgov climbing it, slamming it, and putting the Lakers up by three.
That was 10. Oh, that was awesome. With the left hand. Monty.
Timothy Mozgov with our play-by-play call of the day, courtesy of TNT. Kevin Harlan on the call last night, the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings in the NBA. All right, let's continue with the theme now of Penn State football. The Nittany Lions will take on Indiana tomorrow. Big game at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. Kickoff set for noon. I'm with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Ryan Sider covers recruiting for Rivals.com, does a great job. I think a lot of people, Ryan, see, for example, last week's game with Iowa, and they see the nature with which Penn State won. They're like, okay. And they had so many recruits at the game. They're all going to fall into place, and they're all going to declare right away. But that's not how it works. I mean, you and I both know this is a process, correct?
Correct. You already know, but yes, correct.
I mean, you know, look, there's certain big names that came in and spent the night here. Some of them spent the full 48 hours here. What kind of feedback did you get?
Yeah, a lot of good feedback, put it that way. Well, let's put it this way. Two main guys, I think, to keep an eye on. Everybody knows Lamont Wade, five-star Claritin safety. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows Penn State's situation. I think I've literally mentioned his name thousands of times by now. Mm-hmm. But the other guy to keep an eye on is defensive tackle Elijah Conley from Hampton, Virginia. Down the Tidewater area, which is certainly a spot that Penn State has been chipping away at hard. It's definitely one of the top three or four regions in the Mid-Atlantic. So it'd be a great, great pool, you know, if Penn State's able to pull him in the end. You know, it's not going to be easy with Elijah. I think Alabama is still the leader there, but give Penn State a lot of credit. They have consistently stayed on top of him, consistently preached academics to his family. And I think it really helped out this weekend to get him on campus, get him in front of advisors. So let's see how that progresses. He's not going to probably make a decision anytime soon. On the other hand, though, Lamont Wade is going to be making a decision here in about a month. I think he's set for December 17th.
Yep.
Is the date. So This was his second official visit. He went down to Tennessee for the Alabama game earlier this season. And, you know, he's still going to take a few more. UCLA, West Virginia, Pitt. You know, Pitt's definitely in the mix, but I do believe Tennessee is probably Penn State's top competitor. Pitt's in the mix, too. But, you know, with all that said, after this weekend and after speaking with his dad, speaking with, you know, contacts, people at Penn State, everything really went well. I mean, they go out of their way for official visitors. You know, they really, you know, book brunches and make sure academic advisors are around to show the family everything. But I think this may have been the king of all official visits when it comes to, you know, really setting everybody up in the right places and making sure the family feels welcome. I mean, Penn State did an excellent job. You know, Mr. Wade Carlton's his first name. He, you know, just went on and on. I asked him for 5 minutes of his time. He gave me about a half hour. Just how many different little minute details that they really respected about the staff. So, you know, let's see how things shape up here in the final month. You know, I know that Lamont and his father want to see how Penn State finishes, how Tennessee and some other schools finish. But, you know, I felt pretty good about Penn State's chances going into the weekend. I think I feel even better now.
And the December 17th date is important because if you're an early entry, that's when you can sign.
Yes, correct, Steve. Forgot about that, Glenn. Yeah, he is going to be an early enrollee, which is important. You know, Penn State's always trying to get their guys on campus as soon as possible. That actually rolls me into another subject real quick with Michael Miranda. He offensive lineman out of Stowe, Ohio. He took his official visit this weekend because he will be an early enrollee, and most of the class will take their official visits in January then. So that was another notable prospect that was on campus this weekend. Yeah,
everybody does rankings down the line. Were there a couple of people that aren't going to make the headlines as they're here but are really like Penn State, and also at the same time, Penn State actually really likes them too?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. They're mainly younger prospects, you know, guys we either – haven't ranked yet or haven't, you know, gotten all the notoriety, I guess you'd say. In the 2018 class, the top guy, well, there's two guys that I think, well, no, actually, there's probably about four that are really good players that were on campus this weekend. Quarterback Justin Fields got a lot of the notoriety. He's literally tailor-made for Joe Moorhead's system. And, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, he had no real plans on returning. And after that Ohio State win, he got back on campus immediately, which, by the way, it was an unofficial visit, which means his family paid the way and all that. So that's a very good sign for Penn State. Let's see how things progress, though. And he is Hawkins, the defensive tackle out of Cincinnati. His dad is actually Archer Hawkins, too. A lot of fans should know him. He's from the area. I think he's coaching at Johnstown now. Obviously, a very good lineage there. So get him on campus was big. You know, Hawkins has spoken very highly of Penn State. He took a really good visit in July, but this was his first game, and, you know, he just continues to rave. You know, he's already admitted that Penn State's one of his top schools, and, you know, he's got offers from Ohio State, all the top programs in the region. You know, he's going to probably be another top 200, top 100 guy when it's all said and done. Three other quick names here. Tight end Kyle Pitts, another 2018 prospect out of Archbishop Wood. And safety Quantel Reigns out of Aliquippa. Those were two really solid prospects to get back on campus. Reigns was hoping to visit for Ohio State, but he wasn't able to make the trip. And then Pitts has been on campus a few times. You know, I think he's basically handed the Penn State his favorite now. He's no rush to make a decision, but he's a guy that a lot of people have picked. And then one other prospect I have to mention is Drew Pine, quarterback out of New Canaan, Connecticut. He's a 2020 prospect. Yes, a 2020 prospect, freshman. You know, look, a long way to go. You know, obviously, you know, whenever Penn State's recruiting guys at that age, you know, they show a lot of talent. And Drew already does have a scholarship offer from the staff. So that should tell you everything you need to know there about, you know, what they think his potential will be. By the way, you know, Florida State, a couple other top schools have also offered Drew. So he's going to be an elite player that we're going to be talking about here in 2-3 years.
Finally, 19 prospects. Did they lay some groundwork with some 19 prospects this weekend?
You know what? You probably know better than me on that one. I know we go through all the time. I haven't gotten a ton of info there yet, Steve. I'm still chipping away on that. Melvin Kirby's the guy. Hayden Shell, two guys I know that were up. But you probably know more there than myself on that one. Still chipping away at those guys. I've gotten through 2017, gotten through 2018. 2019 is kind of my target here tonight. So I can maybe give you a better answer tomorrow.
Yeah, and numbers-wise, numbers-wise, obviously, everybody has a pretty good handle on what they can do numbers-wise. What's the approximate number, do you think, on 18 that they could possibly offer?
For the 2018 class?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think a lot of transfers will come to fruition here for the 2017 class. So, look, they're trying to even out the numbers, as you know, as a lot of people know.
Right. They have to balance these classes because, exactly, obviously they're right now weighted too far to the bottom.
To me, it looks like the 20. I haven't, you know, again, I'm so focused on 2017 right now that that's my main focus. It looks like the class, they should have a fairly full class in 2018.
Okay.
But, it's going to really depend on, you know, who all transfers out, who decides to forego that fifth and final year.
Right.
It looks to me like it will be close to 25. I don't even think the coaching staff can say, you know, exactly how many they'll have for 2018 as of today. But I think the most important thing right now is that it looking more and more likely like 2017 class will have, probably 20, maybe one or two more, which is important because I think 3 months ago, a lot of people thought it was going to be a very small class, which is 17, 18 or so. And, you know, given Penn State's success on the field this year, you want to add as many prospects as you can.
Right.
But Penn State's sitting in a great position now where, you know, not only they look good with the guys they're still targeting, but, you know, there's going to be coaches that are let go and you know, guys that are committed elsewhere that ultimately open up their recruitment. So Penn State's sitting in a great position, and they get a few more scholarships, it's only going to help.
Now, obviously, there's going to be contact based on what the rules say you can between now and Thanksgiving. But in terms of being on campus, how quiet should it be between now and Thanksgiving?
For the most part, yeah, pretty quiet. But you're looking at high school playoffs right now.
Right.
You know, that's these guys' main focus, you know, especially for seniors and juniors, guys that are leaders on their team. You know, once you get into playoff mode, that is their main focus. For the Michigan State game, I already have a handful of guys that say they're making the trip. So that's a good sign.
You know,
that kind of – what's that?
I said that's interesting.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys that say they're going to make the trip. I'm looking at – let me see here. 1, 6, 8. Got about 10 guys or so that are saying they're making the trip. Dorian Hardy is a top 2018 prospect. It's, you know, looking to make the trip. There's also a handful of Penn State commits that are coming. So it does look like there will be a good guest list for that. But at the same time, we're 3 weeks out. You know, playoff schedules go week to week. And, you know, a lot of guys that play on Fridays end up having to play on Saturdays. So, you know, it's just really going to depend on where these guys stand with their high school teams. But for the most part, we're looking at a slow couple weeks. December will pick things up. But even with December, I think it'll be slower this year than most just because, you know, they've had so many official visitors already.
Right.
They've also had a lot of their early enrollees take official visits already. And that's usually when December picks up. So I really think that January is setting up to be the next, you know, 3 week span where recruiting is in the news every day.
Ryan, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
No problem, Steve. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Ryan Snyder, Rivals.com. You know, the guys that cover recruiting, I give them a lot of credit. And you know, we just had Ryan on the show, obviously. Tony DeFazio, by the way, last half hour. That's coming up. But the guys that cover the recruiting, especially on the Penn State beat, 24/7 Sports, Fight on State, Rivals, Blue White Illustrated, they do a great job. And one of the reasons they do a great job, I mean, this is a job that I could not do. I don't follow recruiting that closely. I realize it's the lifeblood of the program, but I follow it on the periphery. Part of it is, remember, if I'm sitting there and I'm personally discussing, if I'm personally giving out specific names and so forth, it's an NCAA violation if I do that. So in order to make sure I'm removed from that part of it, I remove myself. Simple as that. And so I follow recruiting to the periphery and to a point. I sort of know what's going on, obviously. And as Ryan will indicate to you, obviously I'm around at certain times where I see certain prospects around. But that's about it in terms of how they play, what they do, seeing them play. I haven't seen any of them play. I've never seen any of them play. The first time I really see them is when they're in practice. And that's when I start to make my evaluation on guys and as to whether I think they're going to play now, or whether they're going to be a contributor down the road, or not so sure here on somebody. And that's how I do it. It's when they get here, that's when I really lock in on them. Guys like Ryan and the people at Fight On State and 24/7 Sports, they do a phenomenal job of following all of this. Phenomenal. And they also do it in such a way. I mean, some services are really obnoxious when it comes to recruits. Calling all the time. Hey, what are you doing? How was your weekend? What happened? These guys that cover on the Penn State beat, 24/7 Sports, Fight On State, Rivals, Blue White Illustrated, guys like Ryan Snyder, are judicious as to how they cover it. They want to make sure that, in other words, when the phone rings or there's a text, the last thing you want is, oh, they're calling again. I don't want to talk to them. You want to say, he's handled it really well. They'll take your call. And the reason they'll take your call is because you have not been a constant thorn in the side of trying to get information. And I think they get more information because of how they approach it. I give them a lot of credit for that. It's really well done on their part. And glad to have Ryan on the show. But tomorrow, Penn State will take on Indiana. That will be at noon. Airtime set for 10:30 for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show out at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. Indiana, as we mentioned, they've played well this year. They're 5-4 on the year. Richard Leygo, their quarterback. Originally, he committed to Oklahoma State. Then he went to the JC route. Now he ends up at Indiana. Really great arm. At times, will have some accuracy issues. Throws the deep ball well, but again, at times will have some accuracy issues. But has a really good arm. Good release, too. You look at the wideouts. Ricky Jones, number 4, very good. Westbrook, 15. Hale, 10. Also good. Westbrook's a good size to him. Then there's Mitchell Page, 87. The guy's a chain mover. Gets the job done as a chain mover. And you look at the job that he does out there, he's not big of stature. He's a very good punt returner, too. But here's a guy who's been in the program, worked in the program, and finally got himself a scholarship in August. And Page, 87. Mitchell Page, very good player. Now, defensively, you have to take the numbers inside the numbers when it comes to them. When you look at the base number for Indiana, 168 yards per game given up on the ground. There's no question that is an improvement for Indiana football. No question that is. But here's the number inside the number. In conference games, they are giving up 201 yards per game rushing. So that's a little bit of a difference. It's a little bit of a difference there. You're talking about giving up 33 yards more per game on the ground in conference games. And that happens to be the last games they've been playing. So that, I think, I see a window there for Penn State. And then I think Matt Hoff, 74 up front, good player. They also bring a guy off the bench in certain situations. Niles Sykes, not bad, 35. The linebackers, I've talked about Tigray Scales this week. I like Scales a lot. And Marcus Oliver, 44, is good. The secondary is good, but you know what? When I watch their secondary on tape, I notice a lot of teams splitting those two safeties. That's going to be something to watch for in the game tomorrow. If Penn State can take advantage of that. That's what I saw. And I looked at a little bit of Maryland. I watched all of Rutgers. And I watched a lot of Northwestern and Indiana. And, if you notice, like with Northwestern, I've mentioned now a couple times, in the last couple of weeks that I've watched a Northwestern game against a Penn State opponent. And even though Thorson doesn't run, Clayton Thorson, the quarterback for Northwestern, doesn't run as well as Trace McSorley does. In fact, he's not even really close as to, I mean, McSorley's a much better runner than Thorson is. But the style of team is similar. That's why I want it. So I'm taking the Northwestern style and trying to translate it into watching them face against face an Indiana defense in this case. Last week it was Iowa. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We head to the bottom of the hour in news. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State football tomorrow with Indiana at noon. We're on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show beginning at 10:30. Don't forget tonight, Bucknell basketball, orange out at Soik at 7. They take on Manhattan. That's on Eagle 107 this evening. That means Sealands Grove in action tonight on 94KX. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, and microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You know, the holidays are coming up. And you have Thanksgiving. Some of you celebrate Hanukkah. You have Christmas. You have New Year's. You're going to have parties. People are going to be over. Maybe you want to just watch a couple games, whatever. You want to make sure that either you're bringing something to somebody's place, or if they're coming to your place, you are fully stocked and set to go. Well, there's one-stop shopping. It's called Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You want a great selection of beer? They have it. Imports, domestics, microbrews. What a selection they have. All right, some people say, well, maybe not a beer for me. I'd like something else. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks. They have plenty of that. Snacks, you want to make sure you're fully stocked on that. All right, next part. People love fresh, hot roasted peanuts. The bags are right there, and they roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. I go up there, and I always get the barrels, and I always get the dills. Those are my favorites. And I make sure I'm fully stocked. And that's what you should do. You should be fully stocked and set to go for this weekend, anytime, and for the holidays at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I mentioned the holidays. You know, it makes a great holiday gift. I mean, awesome, off the charts. How about a vehicle? And the people that deal with Sunbury Motors. All right. Time now for our Sports Bozo of the Day. Colin McGregor. He is, I guess, a UFC 205. They're making the foray into Madison Square Garden. So this is a big UFC moment to get into Madison Square Garden. And Conor McGregor, I guess, is going up against Eddie Alvarez, I believe. McGregor yesterday, first of all, was 14 minutes late at the theater at Madison Square Garden. And then he gets in there and tells everybody that, quote, "I run New York City. I'm a pimp." Really? He also says that whole ship sinks without him when it comes to UFC. You're saying, wow, McGregor's on a roll. He must be undefeated. No, he's 20-3. Alvarez is 28-4. This is... And then he looks at everybody and says, "I operate on my time. I operate on my own time. And I'm running early on my time." You know what? We used to have something around here called Paterno time. And Joe Paterno would say, meeting is at 3:30. You were there at 3:15. Every time I taped a pregame show with him, he'd say, "Hey, Steve, let's do it Friday at 10 o'clock. I was there at 9:45. You know what's interesting? Michael Robinson, when he went out to Seattle, Pete Carroll, and he was out there with Jordan Hill at the time. Pete Carroll called a meeting for 3:30. At 3:15, Michael Robinson walks into the meeting room, and there's only one other guy sitting in the meeting room. It was Jordan Hill. All right? Because if somebody tells you a certain time, you respect their time. You are not the center of the universe. Conor McGregor, I realize he's trying to promote the fight. I got that. But he's not the center of the universe. And the other part that has baffled me about this, and I may be wrong about UFC, I see UFC personally as a fad that I'm sure will hang around for a while, but that's how I see it. I may be completely wrong, and age may be entering into it. And in the tail end of my career, it's an excuse I'm going to be using a lot. Just so you know. So I'm not in the 18 to 35-year-old demographic that they're looking for, or even 18 to 49 that they're looking for. I'm out of that demographic. But they paid $4 billion to buy this. And I thought, my opinion was, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous. I really did. There's no way in the planet I would have done that. But we'll see. I mean, this is a big one. I mean, the Madison Square Garden. And I know he's trying to promote it. But I go back to the days of how Ali promoted it. This isn't that. Conor McGregor, easy call, sports bozo of the day, right? I'm running on my time. In other words, you're just running on being rude, right? Not how things work. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Always great to bring him in and talk with him every week. Tony, first of all, welcome. Appreciate it. Ben Roethlisberger, and you talked about this last week, and Neil Coulong also brought it up when he was on the show last week. This is not post-mortem by you guys. You guys said this before the game. You did not expect Ben Roethlisberger to play well because the pattern in his career has been that when he's come back early from an injury, and everyone praises him for coming back early from an injury, which we understand, he doesn't play well right away after that. Well, last week he didn't play well, but they also threw the ball 45 times in the game. Now, I'm not one to get into the coaching part of it that much and throwing it on schemes and things like that, but did Todd Haley show some common sense about who his quarterback happened to be and what the condition of his quarterback happened to be in something like this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like that's something that you should do. If you're going to play Roethlisberger, you have to have, I couldn't agree more. And I'm on the same page with you, Steve. I typically don't question a lot of play calls and that sort of thing. But, this was a guy who, they knew what the situation was. They monitored him, you know, for the last 2 weeks. Heck, it was an injury where they told us, you know, 4 to 6. He missed 2 weeks. So clearly he wasn't 100%. And like you said, that's, if you're going to play him injured, that's one thing. But, you know, most of the time you do come up with a way to protect your guy or to protect the rest of the team from your guy's injury. They didn't do that. And again, I don't know, you know, who is ultimately calling those shots. I don't know how much control Roethlisberger is given. You know, sometimes it's hard for players to monitor themselves and to realize, you know, what their limitations are. A guy his age probably should be able to do that at this point. It isn't like he's 25 years old and thinks he can go out and do everything. So, you know, I don't know necessarily who is to blame there. Ultimately, at the end of the day, even if, you know, if they're letting the player have dictate and call those shots, that still rests on the coaches. That's the coach's decision to let the player do that. So, you know, they're in a mess right now. This is not the team we expected at the halfway point. They're 4-4. They've looked awful at times. And quite frankly, Steve, it's been about a month since they've looked good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think everybody thought that once they got some players back, and the defense may have played their best game. Now, Baltimore's offense doesn't give you the toughest test in the world, but when you have a defense that's been as limited as Pittsburgh's, that's okay. The defense played certainly well enough, you know, for that team to win. Heck, they only gave up 14 points defensively. The other score was a special team score. So, you know, the defense did play a lot better. I don't think anyone ever thought that if the defense gave up 14, the offense would fail to win a football game. But it's been that kind of a season. In some ways, this has been at least the most disappointing first half of a season in quite some time. And I would even go back to some of the non-playoff years recently, because we knew those, you know, we knew what those years were going to look like, or we maybe had some kind of expectation. This has not gone the way really anybody thought it would go.
They still have two more with Cleveland coming up, which does not hurt, obviously, the cause moving forward, with all due respect. I mean, but they just, that's, you know, facts are facts. But what about Dallas this week? You look at Dallas, Tony, the combination of Prescott, Elliott, and Lee being back on defense, what has that meant to a revitalized Dallas Cowboy team?
Well, I mean, this looks like a game where the Steelers are walking into, you know, to a very dangerous situation. I mean, it's hard to imagine Pittsburgh winning this game I hate to say even being competitive, because in the NFL, it's competitive more often than not. But, you know, it just doesn't look like the Steelers are going to match up with this team. You know, you're right. I mean, defensively, as well as they played last week, let's go through those weapons that we just talked about and compare them to the weapons Baltimore has. There's not even a conversation there. I mean, offensively, you just don't know what you're going to get from the Steelers. Defensively, Dallas has been very good. And, you know, the Steelers offensively have been a complete coin toss. Now, I would hesitate to bet against Roethlisberger putting up good numbers week after week after week. Eventually, you know, he is going to do that. So maybe this is a week, you know, after getting some rust off, you know, where he does shine a little bit. But Antonio Brown is also not having the kind of season he's been having in the past. And maybe that's unfair. He's had two, you know, statistically improbable type seasons. So maybe he's just coming down to earth a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you know, the idea that this team is going to be 4-5 is not at all, you know, should not be a surprise at all based on what we've seen so far.
Does Le'Veon Bell need more touches?
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think, you know, again, when he's been playing, when he's been healthy, the conversation we have about Bell usually is he getting too many touches? Are they wearing him out? And you know, it's hard to figure out who gets touches when you're having, you know, three and out. No one's getting touches in those situations. So, you know, a first down would enable them to get these guys some more touches.
Right, exactly. Defensively, you mentioned they played well against Baltimore. Was that in part was there a domino effect to getting Hayward back, having Shazier in the mix, and so forth?
I think it's a very different defense with Shazier. I mean, I really do. You know, he has been getting a little bit more healthy. I'm not sure he's even 100% yet, but we talked about him last week. He just – you know, he just gives you that extra dimension that even if you have a guy behind him who plays solidly and doesn't make mistakes, Shazier just gives you that added dimension, that catch-up speed. You know, he can make a mistake. He can get out of position. He can do those kinds of things, take risks that other players just can't because they don't have that explosion that Shazier does. And he's a very good tackler as well. And Hayward is Hayward. You know, when you put Hayward into that lineup, he just shores up a position that, you know, he's a guy who, like we talked about, he doesn't make mistakes. You can count on him down after down after down. Sometimes he'll be dominant. Sometimes he won't be dominant, but he's never going to hurt you. You know, he's never, very, very seldom is he going to be the guy who is at fault for a big game. So, yeah, I think those two guys coming back to health helps. I think that you're seeing a secondary playing a little bit better. I think Artie Burns, even though he's going to make some mistakes, and he kind of had a big up-and-down game against Baltimore. He made some great plays. He made some bad plays. Mm-hmm. But I think they're starting to count on him a little bit, and he's starting to develop a confidence and starting to look a little bit more like an NFL player now, which, you know, maybe shouldn't be a surprise. We are in November. So, but, again, the other thing I think that helped – Pittsburgh defensively last week was the offense that was on the field against them. I don't think Baltimore, you know, gives you a whole lot of threats. And at the very least, maybe it was a good warm-up game to face, you know, to face Dallas's offense. It's going to be a very different offense they're going to be watching on Sunday afternoon.
I have no question. The Penguins quickly. They had the matchup with Edmonton the other night with McDavid. How exciting was it to see Crosby and McDavid on the ice against one another for the first time?
It was, you know, very, very cool. I think one of the things that was kind of refreshing about it was how excited McDavid was after the game. I mean, this guy, you know, this isn't his first NHL season. Obviously, he had an abbreviated year last year, but, you know, he talked about the thrill he got at the beginning of the game by skating in and say, you know, having the first face-off of the night against Sidney Crosby, a guy who really was his hero. And that's what's almost amazing. We forget that, you know, Crosby is just 29. This kid's 19. So, yeah, Sidney Crosby was an NHL player, a good one at that, when Connor McDavid was a 9-year-old kid, an 8-year-old
right.
kid.
Sure.
So, you know, time just flies by. It's almost amazing this is going to be the guy who supposedly is going to replace Crosby as the face of the league. But, yeah, you know, in 10 years when he's Crosby's age, Sidney Crosby probably won't be around in the NHL. So, yeah, it was pretty neat. And, again, it was refreshing to just hear how genuine Connor McDavid was after the game.
About the Pirates, Starling Marte gets a well-deserved Gold Glove. What are the odds he's the center fielder next year?
Yeah, that's you know, I don't know, because I think it's a great question. That should be an easy question to answer. I think it's obvious that he should be their center fielder. He is the best outfielder on the team. McCutchen is probably the third best outfielder on that team at this point defensively.
Right.
Heck, maybe even offensively. I don't know if we're quite ready to make that pronouncement just yet. But, you know, to me, again, Steve, I talked with the Steelers about letting the players make the call. Clint Hurdle can't afford to do that. At some point, you start to lose respect in the clubhouse. I don't know if they're near that point yet.
Right.
But it's clear to anybody who watches that Starling Marte has got to be this team's center fielder in order for them to put the best offense out there. McCutchen may need to be the right fielder
in
PNC Park.
My thought was McCutchen to right, Polanco to left, and Marte in center field. I think that gives them defensively their best shot.
I agree 100%. Marte is still prone to some lapses defensively. He still takes bad angles to the ball every now and then. Nowhere near as bad as it was his first 2 years in the league. But McCutchen is just, you know, the speed is not there anymore. And I don't know, you know, the arm was never really there. It was really the speed that made the biggest difference. I don't know how great or natural of a defensive player McCutchen was. He was just very electrifying and had such great catch-up speed. And now that that's gone, I think he is probably a subpar outfielder. Maybe he wouldn't be a subpar right fielder, but I think he's a subpar center fielder now. And if you have a guy who could be a great one, you know, why isn't he playing there?
I'd just tell him that's where Clemente played and make him feel better.
Exactly. You know what? Again, in a very real way, that's not a bad way to wind down your career. I mean, you know, for goodness sakes, they move a lot of guys to first base. Moving to right field is not exactly a shot at you, you know?
Oh, for goodness sakes. You know what? If you really want things and they say you got to do this, guess what?
You do it.
Yeah, you do it.
No question.
You do it because it's better for the team. I mean, what the heck? Just go out and play.
And maybe that's a realization he'll come to. Maybe they'll sit down and talk to him a little bit this offseason. To me, that's what has to happen. You have to just have a sit down with the manager and talk about it. This is what we want to accomplish in order for us to do it. You know, don't you want to win? In order for us to do it, this is what we need you to do. It's hard to imagine that McCutchen would push back that strongly against it if they do that, but, you know, I don't know that for sure.
Tony, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Steve.
You too, Tony. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. All right, something I haven't mentioned during the show, but I need to mention now. It's so important. This is Veterans Day. We have an opportunity to do what we do in our lives and feel like we have the freedom to do whatever we wish, whether it happens to be what profession we choose, what friends we want to be around, where we wish to travel, freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Because great, great veterans have sacrificed and put their lives on the line, sometimes here at home, but more often than not in theaters around the world, protecting us, allowing our liberty to thrive. We owe an incredible debt of gratitude to the great veterans, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard. You know, we owe a great debt to them because we have the liberty we have. And people around the world owe a tremendous debt to our current military personnel and to our veterans because people around the world have been able to have their freedom because of Americans. And so to all the veterans out there, I want to say thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you to every veteran. Thank you for your service. Thank you for going out there and representing us with dignity. And thank you for protecting us with your hard work and your integrity. And to the families of veterans, you have sacrificed along the way. When they go overseas, you are the ones that make the sacrifice that they're gone and out of your lives. And we thank you for those moments when that happened. And for those who served here at home, all the times you probably moved around and still made it happen. So to veterans, their families, their friends, I just want to say thank you and let you know that on this Veterans Day, we consider you to be part of the gold that is America. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Bloomington at 10:30 with a noon kickoff here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.